Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
How has Cam Newton come to grasp the playbook?
I couldn't really comment on that. Walkthroughs are the walkthroughs. They're walkthroughs.
I'm going to hang up now. Thank you.
Dale Arnold.
How much have you been concerned about COVID as we've gone on for the past few months?
I've always felt like, you know, taking care of my body was really important.
Somebody's got to say it.
Shut up!
Rich Keefe.
I think Tre'Davious White might be the best cornerback in the NFL.
What? No!
This guy sucks.
Dale and Keefe with Fitzy.
I don't know what the plexiglass bill around here is.
$69, nice.
On the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
You know, at the end of the day, you know, I'm extremely excited to compete with Cam and Hoy.
I love the way you lie. I love the way you lie.
It's Jared Stidham's music.
I can't tell you what it really is. I can only tell you what it feels like.
Yeah, Jared Stidham spoke to the media today as well, as did Cam Newton, Brian Hoyer, Bill Belichick, Drubb Mayo, Josh McDaniels, I believe. A big media day for the New England Patriots. This is the fourth and final hour of Dale and Keith. Fitzy in for Dale today. And you had a good question as it relates to Cam Newton for the fans. Would you like to share that with the group?
Are you more excited for the Cam Newton era in Foxborough after today's presser?
You know what?
Did this avail get you fired up?
I think I might be more, because I guess you could say more, less, or the same, right?
Yep. Those are your options. Do not create a poll.
We don't need a 5-minute poll.
We don't need a five-minute poll.
I think probably, and I'm super excited. As soon as they signed him, I was pumped. All those videos that he was tweeting out, I was pumped about. I was excited. I was like, they went from being a non-playoff team or maybe backing their way in my mind, to winning the AFC East. So I was super excited. So I'm probably as excited. But I could see how you might be even a little bit more excited, you know, when he's talking about how motivated he is, and when he's talking about he has a lot to prove to himself and all that other stuff.
I love the waking up angry, like the fact that Cam Newton said he doesn't need to be extra motivated. He wakes up angry every day.
One of the comments too, John. Good. Let's play the elephant in the room, and this is something that he talked about when he was doing the roundtable with Odell Beckham, Victor Cruz, Todd Gurley is. You know, yeah, you're a great quarterback, but you're replacing the greatest quarterback of all time.
Right. I mean, it's just a breath of fresh air, to be honest with you. And that challenge that, you know, I have to accept each and every day. But no challenge is ever going to be greater than a personal challenge that I challenge myself personally. We all know what that was and what that is, and it needs no mention. But yet at the same time, for me, I think I got my hands full with trying to learn as much as possible in a short period of time. And that's what I'm trying to do, meeting with coaches day to day, you know, getting the assistance, you know, from Hoyster as well as Stiddy. You know, those guys have been unbelievable throughout this process too. And also just leaning on guidance for the teammates as well.
Hoyster and Stiddy. Those guys have been incredible. They're going to be great backups for me this year. But I still believe that if you were going to try to just create the perfect Tom Brady replacement and factor everything in, pressure, the team still being good, what kind of personality could live up to it, what kind of player on the field could live up to it, Cam Newton might be the perfect replacement for him. Just because factor everything in. Do you want a rookie having to replace Brady? Ooh. Do you want, like, you know,
like when Brian Greasy had to replace John Elway? It was a disaster.
Yeah, it just wasn't going to work. And I feel like a guy who has had so much past success too. So even if, because you also got to factor in, what if any quarterback gets off to an 0-2 start replacing Brady?
Right.
Most of them might crumble. They might just crumble, and because you still have Belichick there, and you're like, oh, what the hell's going on? But Cam Newton, and I also think when you add in coming off of a injury-riddled season and all that, and so many people counting him out, mm-hmm. like all of that equals into this what could be a great situation for both sides.
If you're a rookie replacing a legend, then you damn well better be the most pro-ready rookie possible, like mm-hmm. Andrew Luck in 2012.
Right.
That guy, we all knew from day one.
Number one
starter,
overall pick.
Number one overall right. pick. Also, he's coming off of the medical waste fire that was their 2011 Curtis Painter season.
So that's just it.
Painter and Orlovsky.
He wasn't even the quarterback, the first quarterback after
Correct.
Manning. So that's you have a buffer season.
Yeah. Exactly.
In that case, sure, I'll take almost any rookie. If you have a buffer
Absolutely.
Season, there's no buffer season. They just had a division-winning season, albeit ending earlier than you would have liked it, but still... They won 12 games a year ago, and,
even
and Brady
Mahomes
still
sat on the sideline for a year.
Right.
Yeah.
He sat. Exactly.
Did nothing.
He sat and didn't do anything.
Played a game just for fun.
And so you take a guy like Newton, and I just think that he will be again not to steal Kyle Van Noy's trademark line, but he is going to be on a revenge tour.
Damn right.
And he's doing it here, and I think he's going to have enough around him to be able to get that done. Because if, say, he went to Jacksonville or Washington, yeah, he also would have been motivated,
mm-hmm.
but you can only do so much.
He would have been paid a little bit more, but yeah. since he said it isn't about the money, where would he put himself? Now, of course, it doesn't matter because he was offered a contract and he took it and here we are.
Yeah.
But where would he have been in the best position to prove to people that he is worth the long-term investment, the respect that he's seeking for 2021 and beyond? Would it be in Jacksonville?
It would not.
If he had good stats, but they went 3-13,
The one place I
Washington
thought
6-10.
I thought the LA Chargers maybe would make some sense.
I always
to
thought that's where he should.
And I thought that's where he's going to go. They're opening up. Well, now it's all different. But they were going to open up like a new stadium and all this other stuff. And they're
Star
moving,
power.
Looking for like to grab fans. They don't have any fans. So hey, we have a former MVP and a guy who's in his early 30s. So there's a chance he could still be your future
Doesn't
quarterback.
Piss Cam Newton off that they would go with Tyrod Taylor over Cam Newton.
Who I believe, this is a little dorky college football stuff, I believe coming out of school, Cam Newton was the second highest ranked mobile quarterback from his high school class. Number one, Tyrod Taylor.
What?
How do you like that?
Yeah. Get out.
I believe that was the case.
Tyrod?
But yeah, I think it's going to work out great, and I think his press conference was, predictable, but at the same time, you mentioned how you did still see some personality.
I got enough. Yeah. I got just enough Cam Newton personality in that. And to your point about Cam Newton being the perfect replacement for Tom Brady, shame on me and other people, not just because we, went lock, stock, and barrel blindfolded into the Belichick light of, it's going to be Stidham. So many people said it's not going to be Stidham. There's got to be interest in Newton. This can't be the plan.
Mm-hmm.
And we trusted them because they were willing to let Brady go. So they must have seen something in Stid the Kid or whatever the hell you want to call it. Stiddy. But no, Newton is the perfect replacement. Yeah. Ken Laird had said as much on the morning show and wrote a column about it. The personality, big shoulders, plenty of experience.
I also think
the
style
arrogance
of play
and
helps.
Style of play. Like everything. When you watch Cam Newton play, nothing he does will remind you of Tom Brady.
No, it's going to look very different. And so, there's going to be times where whoever the quarterback after Brady was, say he throws the ball over Edelman's head, which Brady did last year, but regardless, we're not going to remember that. And you're going to say, Brady would have hit him. But when Cam Newton runs for a 12-yard touchdown and off the right side and truck sticks a linebacker, nobody's going to say, Brady would have done that.
Yeah.
Brady had him. Had him all along.
He would have slid at the five.
Right. It would have been. So in that regard, too, it'll be hard to make the constant comparisons. Another question he was asked during his media availability was, is he even extra motivated just because of how it ended in Carolina?
Let's just look. I wake up mad. You know what I'm saying? I don't need the fact that I'm not able to see my kids on a regular basis. That's what makes me mad. So, at the end of the day, for me, I'm not going to dwell on the past. I think I'm a person that's a self-motivator. And even though the past is the past, I'm not going to keep looking back. And, for me, it's just turn the page and move forward. I wish those guys nothing but the best. And, I hope that the feeling is mutual. And moving on.
So maybe the second lie of today. Stidham couldn't have been excited that Newton was here. You think Newton really wishes all the Carolina Panthers the very best?
Nope.
I can't imagine that. If they go 0-16, I think he's going to be pretty excited about
and
that.
And it's funny because it's a different ownership, but he never really played much for Tepper and had nothing to do with Matt Rhule or Brady. Right.
Sure, it's
guys.
A new coach there. So that's true. So Maybe it's hard to be really upset at all the guys there.
I think he's going to be mad that there was a contract offer to him.
Yeah, that's what's going to be mad.
It's the whole that team passed on me thing. That's what's going to piss
me. That team passed on me.
He wasn't asked about that.
Yeah.
I thought that would have been interesting because that's another thing where Belichick would not have been a fan of. It'd be like, hey, so it sounds like you have a bunch of teams that you're kind of targeting that you went after, like a bunch of teams on the schedule that you're surprised didn't take you or something like that. And he didn't really go there.
Like, Cam, you'll face a lot of people thought you might have gone to the Chargers. You'll play them this year. Any extra motivation or incentive to bring it to them or prove a point?
Right. Nothing.
No.
Let's go to Pauly in the truck. He joins us next year on Dale and Keith with Fitzy. What's up, Pauly?
Hey, what do you say, guys? Nice to talk to you today. Okay. I got a few things to say. I'm going to run through them. I'm going to make it quick.
All right.
Love it like that.
I like Cam Newton's attitude. He's got a good attitude. He loves it here already, which is a far cry from the attitude and the desire to be here from last year's quarterback, okay? I'm going to tell you right now, you heard it here first, the offense will average at least another touchdown per game this year. Now on defense, the first thing you got to do, all right, is you got to sign Logan Ryan. Okay, you make him a safety because he can play either strong or free. He's a great tackle that loves to hit. Okay, you bring him back. He knows the system. And you need a guy like an unblockable defensive tackle in the Allen Branch, Ted Washington mode, most recent being like a Branch. I'm not crazy about Kwame because he doesn't know how to play with his pads down. Maybe you can learn a little of that from the rookie Uche, who I do love. But you're going to be, if you have a stalwart defensive line, you can bring in that unblockable defensive tackle, bring back Logan, Ryan. That gives you a lockdown corners. That gives you a lockdown secondary. So you have a stellar secondary and a stalwart defensive line. You can get by on D with a mediocre linebacking core. That way, you can't be in your front seven. You have a strong linebacking core and a weak defensive line. It doesn't work that way because you have to first stop the run first. We learned that last year. Towards the end of the year, find someone's getting worn down. Those guys up front, the down line, we're getting pushed around, and teams are on the ball down our throat. Have a nice day, guys.
The X, the Z, vertical route.
Thank you, Paulie. So
rock solid. Fitzy. Breakdown from the truck. Oh, he, there was something on the call screener, too, that he wanted to talk about the QB order. I wanted to... Put a bow on that, or put a finger.
He said
that
to me off the air. He was like, "Interesting that Brian Hoyer went first."
Correct. Now, and someone asked me that on Twitter too.
Why
do you
the order?
Read anything into the order, or did they just do it arbitrarily?
Like,
is Hoyer the starter and Cam's his backup?
Hoyer, Newton, Stidham.
Ooh, HNS.
Hear that?
The HNS Patriots.
That's what
too simple.
Of. That's yeah. That's
age. Oldest guy first, second oldest guy second.
That's too logical
age
and incorrect.
Or those are two things that I have.
On your
or maybe it's the depth chart. How do you like that?
How about that? Thank you.
You know what?
Let's circle back. The destroyer.
So Pauly also said that the Patriots are going to average one more touchdown per game.
31 points?
Which would make them, because last year they averaged 26.3.
Okay. So 33, 34 points a game.
Only one team averaged 33 points a game last year. That was the Ravens.
Sign me up.
Yeah, I don't know. Honestly, 26 points per game, and that put them seventh in the league. So Baltimore, San Francisco, New Orleans, Tampa, Kansas City, Dallas were the only teams that scored more points per game.
Yeah, but their defense and special teams scored a lot last year.
They did.
And they did all that scoring in the first half of the season when they fed off the weak and the young.
Correct. I think it's more likely, and Newton could still have a good year, and if they're somewhere between 12 and 14 points per game. Don't you think?
What? 12 and 14 points scored per game?
No. 12. No. Between 12 and 14th in the league.
Ranking.
I think they'll be
25 points. I'd sign up for 25.
I think they'll be in the bottom half of or bottom part of the top half of the league.
Yeah, because the defense is coming into the season according to The Athletic ranked 9th overall. So a 9th ranked defense is going to keep you in every game.
You buy that 9th ranked defense?
Yeah, I do.
Probably.
And it's all based off the secondary.
But they have so many losses.
Even with the linebacking loss, I don't think they'll notice the losses on the defensive line. I'm with
Pauly.
He could eat Danny Shelton. I would bring in one big body for defensive line depth. I'm an Everson Griffin guy over a Snacks Harrison. I know they play completely different parts, totally different roles, but Everson Griffin is a really good football player to still be sitting out there with 5 weeks before the season.
You got
to
spend some of that money, don't you think?
A little bit. Roll $20 million into next year to give yourself the most cap room still by a mile if the cap ceiling falls a bit. Makes a ton of sense.
But based on the guys who are available right now, you don't need to give them multi-year deals.
Nope.
You know, one-year deals for some of these guys. Maybe grab Delanie Walker or Everson Griffin or Logan Ryan. Oh, the caller also mentioned Logan Ryan. I'm good with that. Bring him back, fine.
If you could get Logan Ryan, now he just played a three-year $30 million contract with the Titans. So he went off and he got paid. He already knows the Pats system. Is he holding out for a multi-year deal or does he want just a one-year deal? Would one for eight get Logan Ryan back in the building?
Yeah, why not? I think so.
To play safety.
Come back,
and then
play,
like, hey,
and the McCourties are playing.
He's
here.
Gone from corner to safety. And that Paulie did have a good point. Logan Ryan is the best tackling cornerback in football. Hands down, by far.
Best tackling cornerback in football.
You do not.
Since he's got another ranking here?
Yep.
No, I agree with this. Remember him and Malcolm Butler? They're the
Butler
I swear
great.
To God, they
Butler.
Were the only corners that actually came up and tried to make a tackle.
Oh, yeah. Butler wouldn't miss a tackle.
Never
for a while.
Afraid of contact.
And then he just kind of fizzled.
Well, you love a corner that packs a punch. Yeah,
sure. I mean,
Gilmore's a good tackler, too. He's just like Logan Ryan's like man strong.
Yeah, I mean, Logan Ryan's definitely, you could probably move him to safety. Mm-hmm. I was wondering if Juwan Williams, they moved to safety.
That's what I thought, too.
Big corner.
He's a very,
he's a
very
mountain
large
of
person.
A corner.
He's a very large person.
A tall gentleman, so you could maybe see him moving back there. Yeah, I think the offense.
They sewed it with lime for the tall gentleman to my rear.
Yes, here he is. The offense. Again, we just have to see what it's going to look like. I think it's going to be very different. I think Josh McDaniels is probably thrilled about the fact that it's going to look different.
As a matter of fact, Jed Fish and McDaniels spoke before Hoister came up. And
the first question was, why the order of the quarterbacks? Explain the order.
I think Jed Fish spoke to the fact that McDaniels has been in the playbook and is very excited for the possibilities and the opportunity that lay ahead.
And I think he has to be.
Fish then went on about how he remembered a quarterback clinic from the 80s that he saw Belichick at. and of course, somewhere Belichick
Bart
went.
Jones.
Belichick was hiding a bulge in his pants. I think McDaniels and Fish, the whole offensive team, also McDaniels will be working with the quarterbacks this season, even though Jed Fish is now considered quarterback's coach.
Yeah.
So the unlimited possibilities, opening up the second half of the playbook, and the diversity of personnel they have, I think, makes the offense just unpredictable, just different enough. It's not anything that any of the defenses in the league have seen aside from when they played Baltimore. And I don't think Cam's style of play will resemble Lamar Jackson's that much.
No, it won't. It definitely won't be. I mean, even look at the years that Cam was running the most. I mean, he was never a 1,000-yard guy. I'm more interested in like the goal line offense now, where they had stuttered before and Sony Michel would get stuffed three times in a row at the one, or they're settling for short field goals or all of that. I wonder how much that is going to be different. And that could be huge. That could be the difference in a couple of games for him. If Cam Newton, even if he's not scoring the touchdowns, it's at least putting a thought in the defense's head that he could.
There's a new level of threat.
If
he can come out throwing the ball the way that he did with Norv Turner in 2018, which Norv Turner told us yesterday via Sirius, that he thought he was fully capable of, and can introduce the danger or unpredictability of the running quarterback dynamic.
Mm-hmm.
We just have never seen it before.
Uh-huh.
I think it's going to be exciting.
And he's fully healthy for those that are concerned about his health. I know Dale's predicting he's going to break down and it's going to be a failure, but Cam Newton right now is healthy. We'll see how long that lasts. Because one of the questions too about the multiple shoulder injuries that he's had, but he says he is good to go. He's excited to be here. He knows about how great the franchise has been, all the winning and all that stuff. Wakes up mad.
Mm-hmm.
What any other takeaways?
Great way to start the day.
Great way to start the day. Oh, and a vegan diet.
That's right. He was asked about the vegan diet twice.
He was asked twice about the vegan diet, including our own Tyler WEEI, who was in there.
Right.
And he asked about the vegan diet, which, okay. Fine.
Yeah. All right. So
he's a vegan.
He got hashtag healthy snacks.
He had I'm looking forward to what those might be. But he was saying that because he's a huge guy and he's like, it's easy to put on bad weight when you're eating all this other stuff. And I'm like, yeah, that makes sense.
He's 6'5", 245 right now. That's defensive. Mm. Like that's defensive.
That's what
end size. That's what he's listed.
I bet he's bigger.
He's probably bigger.
Because when you see him next to other guys, you're like, holy crap. Like that one photo with him and Mohamed Sanu. Mohamed Sanu is probably 6'2", 210 or something like that.
He's a big person.
He looked like a tiny little guy.
Tiny.
He looked like Bam Childress standing next to him.
Edelman just looks like a novelty. Just like one of those old plush wrestling dolls.
Well, it's so weird when like all of his receivers come up to like his waist and you're like, wait a minute, shouldn't the receivers be bigger? Or like what's going on?
I think it's an advantage of looking over the field. Don't get blocked out by your line.
You aren't going to have a problem there. Another football thing from earlier in the week. Tooney moved to right tackle. Would you be on board with that? Or what do you think?
depending on who they're going to swap.
Well, that's the problem. Is it Froholt? I don't know who the next backup
Froholt,
guy
is. Yeah, is it Froholt? Would they go with Onwenu? And here's the problem. This is where the no preseason games bite you in the ass because you don't get it. They'll play against your own defensive line. You're going to face a lot of better defensive lines than your own, I hate to say it, this season. Mm-hmm. And someone else Phil Perry pointed this out. A big point of concern for the Patriots this year is a lot of the best pass rushers they're going to go against come off the right tackle side.
Yeah, there's a long list of them.
Von Miller.
Is it Joey Bosa?
Joey Bosa. TJ Watt often will come off the right side. So it's not going to be the left tackle. You're not going to worry about Cam Newton's blind side. You're going to have to worry about guys getting right up in his face real quick. If the Patriots decide that Joe Tooney is better served playing the right side at right tackle to protect Cam against all these pass rushers, I wouldn't be surprised. Or if there's a little swing in the game.
Yeah. I'll tell you, I am kind of bummed out, though, that, like you said, we don't get a couple of preseason games. I've never needed four, don't want four, but when you hear Cam Newton, but there also hasn't been a QB battle in 20, 30 years here in New England. You've known who the quarterback
QB battle.
No, I know there's not.
There's not a QB
battle.
That's cute.
But there's intrigue at the very least to see Newton play.
There's QB intrigue.
QB intrigue. I'm with you. I don't think there's a QB battle. I misspoke.
Yeah,
I misspoke.
That's
all right. I take it back.
That's all right.
I was excited. And for those wondering, he was wearing, what was that? What was he wearing today?
Phenomenal outfit.
he had a Cam Newton-like outfit.
Grandma's house on point.
Yes. Whatever. Is that a shawl, scarf, or hood?
I don't know.
I don't know what that was.
I saw someone tweet out that it was, in fact, a scarf.
A scarf? So it was,
is that over his head, or was that the beflowered element that was over his shoulders?
No, the scarf was over his head. I believe the beflowered thing was like a jacket.
So just think like when the big bad wolf is trying to masquerade as grandma for Little Red Riding Hood,
right?
That's sort of the same disguise.
See?
He's kind of dressed like...
See?
And he had the mask down around his neck as well.
He's
so
a wolf
he's
in grandma's clothing.
That's right. That's right. He's sending messages right now. These are not thinly veiled. These are not mixed messages. He's letting you know he's a wolf in grandma's clothing.
Nice frames.
I like the specs.
Frames. Yeah, he looked pretty good there. And so people were excited about it. A lot of smiles. He seems to be in a good spot.
Here's what you would want as a Patriots fan coming out of Cam's first presser. You would want him to toe the Patriot line. Check.
He did.
Did you get enough of his personality to find out what his motivation and the way he's going to handle the Patriot way this year? I believe so.
I think so.
I wake up mad.
There was personality.
He dressed well.
Another example, remember last year, Antonio Brown only spoke in the locker room once, and it was very short. They had to have like a chaperone there next to him. It was like four questions or three.
I think it was three questions.
I think it was
and
three.
And it was 1 minute.
And then they were done. Remember the year before, Josh Gordon, three questions. They were probably all handpicked, and they were like terrified of it. Now, I never put Cam Newton in the Antonio Brown category. I'm just saying, you were able to get personality and yet also follow the script. Because plenty of guys have just followed the script, and then you wonder, all right, is that going to impact them on the field? Is that going to change them at all? Because I think part of what makes Cam great is him having fun on the field.
Yeah.
Like, is him just having a blast on and off the field. And if you take that away, would that affect him at all? And so, again, for one little 10-minute, 15-minute press conference, I thought it was as good as you could probably ask.
A-minus.
Right. Tough grader.
A-minus. Tough grade. That's a good
room
grade.
For improvement is what you're saying.
A little more unpredictability may become, at some point during the season. But as far as checking off all those boxes, I got what I came for.
Yes.
D-minus.
Chris Schein hits at a 60% clip in the NFL season. He is even better, I believe, since we've gone to all weird sports all over the world.
How's he doing now that we're back to normal sports?
Well, you're going to find out. We have Schein's recap from last week, plus free money, his four picks for this weekend. We got that coming up next year on Dale and Keith with Fitzy.
Dale and Keith.
Middays 10 to 2.
On WEEI.
The Swiss Super League Soccer is going on right now. Give me Basel. Plus 115 taking on Fun. Celtics currently plus 5. Now, I don't think the Celtics are going to win, but I'm very confident that the Celtics will cover the 5-point spread. So give me the Celtics getting 5 points. Hurricanes versus the Rangers. I'm going with the Hurricanes.
Of course, it's hurricane season.
Andy, you get me on an emotional and intellectual level. I appreciate that. 8-0 against Sergei. This is a tough one, though. Tinchuk is actually an underdog here, so we need an upset. Tinchuk Turabekov is even money, taking on Sergei Ogai.
and it's been a blast.
Uh-oh. It's time now for Free Money with Scheim. And if you heard there in the recap of last week's picks, he had a streak, Fitzy, going where he would bet against players named Sergey playing Russian table tennis.
Yep.
And at that point, he was 8-0.
Oh!
8-0. And he even made a claim that he wanted to retire at 10-0. But, Scheim, something happened last week.
Yeah, unfortunately, Tinchik Turabekov just could not come through for me.
Yeah.
Ended up losing. He played Sergey Ogai 3 times last week.
3 times?
He lost all 3 times.
Friggin' Tinchik.
He couldn't do it.
I bet on the wrong guy.
So, did I hear, was that a 2-2 weekend?
1-3
I'm sorry.
Unacceptable.
It's a tough one.
Now, on the year 2020, which has been just a murderer's year, hell year for everybody. But for you, what is your record?
My record is 67-43.
Come on.
That is 24 winning bets.
That is
24. You are, as far as I'm concerned, you're 24-0.
You know what? I'll take that.
Okay,
that sounds better than me.
You are undefeated. Up 24.
Undefeated.
I'm hitting at a 60.9% rate.
And so you've been getting us through, ever since March, you've still been doing this segment every Friday. You've been betting, giving us 4 picks every Friday, and there was not a lot to bet on early on. Suddenly, there's a ton to bet on, which I don't know if that helps or hurts you, Scheim, because you really focused in on Russian table tennis, Australian rugby, whatever else it might have been. You focused in on that. Now, is there too much?
I don't think so, because I think before we entered this era of COVID,
yes,
I had some streaks where I was really good at basketball. I hit 7 in a row there at one point. I was very good at hockey. We all know slap shot Scheim. You know, I've hit a lot, and so those two sports in particular being back, I think very much helped me.
Well, I don't want to speak for you, Fitzy, but I'm all ears to hear what his picks are going to be for the weekend.
Let's go, baby.
Okay, so Keith, this is a shocker. I want you to know this. Every one of our sports this week are taking place here in the United States.
Oh,
for the first time in
6 months.
6 months.
Today?
Woo.
All the Friday sports or all the bets that you'll be placing.
Well, for the weekend.
For the bets for the weekend.
For the weekend.
Not all these take place today.
All of them are domestic.
But everything is here.
Everything is in the US of
A. That's a game
changer. You know who just liked that post? Drew Brees.
I don't know if I like that, but okay.
All right. Well,
thanks.
Okay.
So the first pick is, of course, I'm coming off this Sergey upset.
That's
a downer. It's devastating.
It is.
So I think it's time for something new.
Scheim's Revenge Tour continues.
I'm furious. Yeah. I'm furious.
He's
that
mad.
The
wakes
Sergey
up mad,
streak
Matt.
Is up.
You should. You wake
I wake up mad.
Up mad.
Are you at our next?
I'm at your next.
All right. Hey, do you have anything to prove?
Dog.
You have anything to prove?
I'll wake up,
man. I have so much to prove here. And so this is my Thundercat pick of the week.
Wow.
Ladies and gentlemen,
jeez.
Tiger Woods is playing in the PGA Championship right now.
This is not smart.
He's currently in a threesome with Justin Thomas.
I bet he is.
Wouldn't be the first time.
Sorry, as Keith says, a menage a trois.
Pretty much the last 15 years.
He is currently paired up
seems a little
with
light.
Justin Thomas and Rory McIlroy. Tiger, day one, went 2-under, and he only hit 50% of his fairways, so I expect him to have a much better day today. So,
are you betting on percentage of fairways?
No. I am betting on Tiger,
Tiger
to have a better second round than Justin Thomas, who is one of his mates here in the threesome.
Is it a playing partner or a playing mate?
I think you might be losing some of your golf terminology.
He's not a partner because there's three of them, so it's a mate, not a partner.
No one ever said you can't.
It's not limited.
You have to be a mate.
You're
not the number of people involved.
You're thinking of couple.
I guess that's fair.
You're thinking of couple.
Regardless, Tiger Woods to have a better round two than Justin Thomas at +125. They tee off at 4:58 this afternoon.
It's a really mean.
Is this from
Tiger.
Ghostbusters?
It's a mean Tiger.
Is that
sound effect?
There is no Dana. Only Zool. All right, so Tiger over Justin Thomas in round two. Got it.
All right, I'm on that.
That's just one. Three more picks.
So the second pick is the Thunder Bear pick of the week.
Why are they all Thunder? Why are they all Thunder?
Why aren't they all Thunder?
Touche.
And so tonight we have the Oklahoma City Thunder taking on the Memphis Grizzlies.
Mm.
Now, as
Keith mentioned earlier,
the Grizzlies have lost 3 in a row since restarting the NBA season. I expect it to be 4 in a row. I'm taking the Oklahoma City Thunder, laying 4.5 points
tonight. What is that now?
A grizzly bear.
Oh, I got it.
I got it. So I'm taking the Thunder,
that's
laying
Tigers
4.5
But you're
points.
Betting against the Grizzlies.
Yes.
All right.
You know who you guys, you know who the two, you know, I finally just figured thunder. Out, I have finally just figured out who the two of you are.
That's why all the
you
picks
are the
are
two
thunder.
Kids.
I get it now.
Yes. The two of you are the kids that do a neat parlor trick. And at dinner with the, like, friends you haven't seen in a while, you're like, go ahead and do that trick again where you sound like a bear. And you just keep doing it.
That's
it's like,
all
right,
I
that's
have.
Enough.
It's a bit one trick, but you know what? It works.
You know what?
Repetition, Fitzy. You know, it's the key to comedy.
My friend Ari
that's
said,
nothing to do with anything.
My friend Ari once famously said, said, you know, people make fun of one trick ponies because
yeah,
they're a one trick pony.
But
what if that pony's trick is like they can pick a lock? It's a pretty
useful.
Good trick.
Useful. These useful two, trick. Though, you got to wonder.
No.
Doesn't apply.
I don't know where Chewbacca factored into the equation. All right, I'm in on that.
I don't pick the sound effects. So
Oklahoma City Thunder
laying 4.5 to the Grizzlies.
All right,
can I get a clean cut of this in here, please?
Sure. Yes, we need
the
that.
Thunder laying 4.5 to the Grizzlies.
Great.
There we go.
Great.
Third pick. It's time for some hockey.
Yeah. Oh, about time.
All right.
About it's time for Puck Luck with Chris Slapshot Shine.
First pick here tonight, 10:45, we have the Vancouver Canucks taking on the Minnesota Wild. I am all in for the Canucks. I'm not doing
where's
this.
The bear?
I don't know.
Is it your Thunder Wild pick of the night?
No, it's
what
just
is this?
A Slapshot Shine pick.
Oh,
I, don't know
I thought they were all
from.
Thunder themed.
The Wild's mascot's literally a bear.
Why was the first theme Thunder anything?
Thunder Cat for Tiger?
That doesn't make
that doesn't
any
make
sense.
Any sense at
you
all.
Never watched Thundercats?
I did.
Lion-O.
Of course I did.
Whoa.
Snarf, snarf.
Mumra.
God, you're going to cool it with the snarf.
Okay, right. Anyways. I'm taking the Canucks money line tonight. They're actually plus 105. They're up 2-1 in the series. I expect them to finish it out. Give me the Canucks over
Vancouver
the Wild.
Vancouver Canucks. Got it.
And then,
right.
Again,
keep tracks of
the fourth.
I know nothing of either team, but I'll trust you.
Fourth and final pick, also an NHL pick.
It's time for Puck Luck. With still, Chris, right. Side Nip Shine.
But hold on,
no,
you just,
I don't
you,
like that
you
one.
Just called it Puck Luck.
So why now you, they're why? Both Puck Luck?
You're double naming
your second.
I don't
know, he just plays the opens.
What's happening now?
We're going to Vegas. Okay. Not really, we're going to Edmonton.
Well, yeah,
but we're going to take the over of 5.5 goals in the Golden Knights Avalanche game. Every single one.
Look at
this
us.
This is not my choice. The sound effects
He's
are not
moron.
My choice.
He's a moron. That's it.
No,
he's
like
got two buttons.
Like if one of my kids gets a hold of like a harmonica
right.
or some sort of noisemaker,
yeah.
they'll do it until
even
I have
to stop. More
give it,
notes.
Give it to dad. Give it to dad right now. Put it down. Put the horn down.
I'm taking the over 5.5 Golden Knights Avalanche.
All right,
Golden Knights have scored a bunch of goals in the
fine.
Few games.
Here comes the bear roll.
Yeah.
Now the harmonica.
All right. Dare I ask to recap your picks for the weekend?
I'll do my best.
Please.
We have Tiger Woods beating out Justin Thomas with a round 2 score at plus 125. Mm-hmm. Thunder laying 4.5 versus the Grizzlies. Canucks money line plus 105 versus the Wild. And over 5.5 goals scored in Golden Knights Avalanche.
I
well,
still
best of luck to you, Shime, and all those picks.
Thanks.
Shime, real quick, I don't know if,
be
this,
safe.
If this is a, if this nobody's safe in here. If this is acceptable, were you to lay action in tonight's Raptors-Celtics game, the Raptors are favored by 3.
Oh, Sean's
not
laying
doing
action tonight.
Yeah, where would one... If,
well, he's
I actually,
betting on
I actually took a look at this, mm-hmm. and actually, according to DraftKings, Raptors only laying 2 now.
Oh, it's down to 2 already.
I was thinking, I kind of outright liked the Celtics money line at mm-hmm. plus 108, plus okay. 110, depending on where you're looking. But I also really like
Raptors
the
Raptors are
over.
Good, though. Raptors mm-hmm. haven't lost since they've gotten into the
no,
yeah, which
level.
Is why
the big,
I looked more at the total. Yep. I actually really like the over. A lot of these NBA games have gone over.
Oh, my
Celtics
God.
Celtics just scored 150
yeah.
points the other
it's
night.
It's like an all-star game
yeah,
sometimes.
But don't forget, the Raptors play good defense.
Raptors are
it's
good.
It's a big
Raptors
game for both really teams. Good. This is a big game for
yeah,
both
I think
teams.
It's going to be a fun game because the Celtics have on their schedule a bunch of bad teams coming up. Mm-hmm. So and they can also maybe clinch the 3 seed by then. So it's a like. If you're looking for a real playoff tune-up type of game, tonight's
it.
The night.
Yep. So what's the over-under, Shane?
The over-under's 220.
Oh, I'd go under on that.
Because look at these games.
220?
Celtics have hit the two hit over 220 already twice.
220,
out of
221, whatever
220,
it takes.
I would go... Yeah, I'd go over.
I'm banging the under on that.
They, after Toronto, they play Orlando, Memphis, and Washington.
Oh.
Like three of the worst Cake teams walk. That are there. And they're just, but those teams, talk about disinterested. Washington, I think, is already eliminated or
they
close
left.
To,
no, they gave their 12 jerseys away. 12 different people are going to play the final Wizards.
It's going to be Mickey Mouse, mm-hmm. Donald Duck, Goofy. They're all going to be out
there. Yeah, the 76ers game is another one I looked at. They're playing the Magic tonight. The line's already moved up in favor of the 76ers.
Okay.
They're now laying 5. They were laying 4 earlier. So.
All right, good stuff. Always a pleasure, Shime. Thank you so much for that. When we come back, we will wrap up the program with what else you got, including a very famous movie that could have had a very different ending. We'll get to all that coming up next. It's Dale and Keefe with Fitzy, Sports Radio, WEEI.
Back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Wrapping things up here on a Friday edition of Dale and Keefe. Fitzy in for Dale. Got to a lot of stuff today, but
big
not
show.
Everything. Not everything, Fitzy. Let's find out what we missed.
What else you got?
Fitz, you go first.
All right. I think we can all agree that Groundhog Day is one of the great American comedies, if not maybe one of the best movies made in the last 30 years.
I love Groundhog Day. Was it 84?
93. Close.
80. Oh, no. I'm thinking Ghostbusters.
You're thinking
84.
Ghostbusters.
93.
Right.
93 for
Great movie.
Great movie.
One of those ones you always get Shawshanked by when it's on TV. You're
yes.
Like, oh, the remote's going down.
Yep.
I got to watch Bill Murray go through it over and over again. I got you, babe. Well, in a piece unearthed by a buddy of mine, that was on the Screen Crush website, which is a great, great, great site for film and movie nerds like us, just published the other day, Groundhog Day originally had a brilliant twist ending. So this writer, Matt Singer, unearthed a talkback that the original screenwriter, Danny Rubin, had years ago at a Groundhog Day screening, and he revealed that the movie had a different intro with a voiceover from Bill Murray's character, and then there was a shocking twist of an ending that Harold Ramis convinced the screenwriter to ultimately take out. Here it is.
But it had a voiceover for Phil, and I had a twist ending for the movie, too. At the very end, he wakes up with Rita just like this, and then a second later, Rita is out of there. She can't wait to leave, and it turns out that she's been reliving February 3rd over and over again.
So the end of the original ending of Groundhog Day was not that when they finally, when Reed and Phil get together, that he snaps out of his Groundhog Day over and over again and they live happily ever after.
I like it.
It's like it follows. And
it
now
is.
That they got together, he has passed the virus
oh my
of
God.
Living the same day over
like
and
it.
Over again onto Rita.
So then does she need to then sleep with somebody else and then that person gets it?
It ends right there and you never know.
That would be pretty good.
Because
there's
been
a bunch
great.
Of these movies, like the Relive the Same Day.
Yeah.
I thought Happy Death Day was pretty good.
Ooh,
like,
never
if you
saw
like,
that.
It's like a 90-minute horror movie,
uh-huh.
and they use the same model, but it was good. Then they tried to do a sequel where mm-hmm. they tried to like explain why it happened.
Yep.
Horrible.
Terrible.
So watch the first one. Don't ever watch the second one. But there's a few movies like that. But that
the
I think
Andy
been
Samberg
cool.
one that just came out on Hulu is excellent as well.
I told Keith
I
last
see
week,
this.
Palm
yeah.
Springs on Hulu
I watch
was
it.
Fantastic.
All right. I gotta watch that.
What else you got?
John?
So in the COVID era, movies have not been coming out. We were lucky enough to get The King of Staten Island a month or two ago. We're going to get Mulan on September 4th, but we have to pay for it.
For $100.
Today, we get this movie from Seth Rogen that you don't have to pay for.
Ooh.
It's called The American Pickle, and it is on HBO Max. Here's a bit of the trailer.
In old country of Shlupsk, I am ditch digger. As far as jobs in Shlupsk go, it's pretty good. We are the Greenbounds, and we have American dream. I find good job in Pickle Factory. Sarah, I make this vow. In 100 years, our family will prosper. And then one day, everything changed.
So Seth Rogen plays a Jewish man in the 1920s who gets preserved in a vat of pickles and wakes up in modern-day New York City and attempts to fit in with the assistance of his last remaining descendant, also played by Seth Rogen.
We're out of ideas.
We are officially out of ideas.
The ideas are done.
Pickle brine? Really?
Because it's funny. Because
he
everyone's
is preserved like, in pickle brine for 100 years and comes back to life and befriends himself?
Because people are so mad. They're like, oh, everything's a sequel or a remake. Well,
right. Well, when they're not, guess what you get.
Own in pickle
this
brine.
Is why.
This is it.
Are you tired of Ant-Man movies? Well, too
that
bad.
American pickle is the reason why. You know what? I'll watch it this weekend.
It's free, at least.
Exactly. It's free. It's for me. I will watch it.
I'd pay $30 like pickles, before I...
Oh, God.
Jesus.
Play the delicious.
Pickleback
play the...
shot. Pickleback shots are
Pickle
phenomenal.
Rick!
What else you got?
Play the bear sound.
Yes. Shime. Thank you. Shime? For some reason, that's like his quick trigger. He's got that on the ready.
So just like my OnlyFans, I also happen to love TikTok. And
That's why I put it in the prep. I knew you'd be mad.
So last night, Donald Trump signed an executive order to ban U.S. transactions with the owners of TikTok in 45 days, unless it's bought out by an American company.
You thinking about buying it?
So I would love to. I don't think I have the money for it. Yes. But I'm
Bezos.
Pretty sure I can still use TikTok.
Bezos.
It's just you can't buy advertisement on TikTok, which means TikTok won't make any money. So
now you're not
die.
Making any money on TikTok anymore?
No, I won't be able to. I'll just have to up the OnlyFans game.
Why did
That's a good point. There's still sweet, sweet cash coming in on OnlyFans.
Why did TikTok, of all the different social media, like I feel like Snapchat must be dead or gone.
So what happened is TikTok just took the idea of Vine and made the production studio within the app 1,000 times better.
Oh, so good.
And so it's just, it's awesome.
I like
it's
Vine.
Perfect.
Vine had a nice run.
6 seconds, though. Like,
yeah,
it's too short.
It was 7.2 by the end.
It was?
Yes,
thanks,
it was.
John.
Wow.
Thanks, John.
They still
thanks,
said it was six.
And TikTok gives you like a whole minute.
Yeah, I guess. All right.
What else you got?
Well, this was supposed to be an event that happened on Wednesday night. Unfortunately, I lost power. So the event has been moved to tonight. That event is Jermaine Wiggins, Chris Scheim, and myself competing in a Call of Duty tournament.
Dropping into Verdansk.
The three of us are going to play. I am horrible at the game. Scheim is very good. Wiggy, TBD. He plays a lot.
You say you're bad, but we just got a win the other night.
Yeah, I did. You guys carried me to a win.
Wiggy told you that he's great. He's got a plan, right?
He has a plan. He sounds like he hides.
Yeah.
That's not really my plan, but we'll see how that works out. So tonight, 9:30 on Scheim's Twitch page. Go to twitch.tv/ScheimTime. We'll tweet it out and everything else at the time. But me, Wiggy, and Scheim playing together for the first time ever. We're going to play 5 matches, see what we do.
Wiggy won't do anything if Randy Moss isn't playing.
He set himself up with the
air horn.
You see that?
He did have 10 catches in a snowball game, didn't he?
He really did. No Randy Moss in that game.
Nope.
And Troy Brown was there.
Wait, now when you
now
have...
Now Troy Brown's Randy Moss.
When you have...
This is what we're dealing with.
When you have five tournaments or 5 games?
So it's one tournament, and then the first round of this tournament, it is we each play 5. Each team plays 5 matches, like against other random people or whatever. And then based on how many kills, well, it depends on how long you do.
Oh.
Like if you win, how long did it take us to win that one the other day?
Generally about 30 minutes if you win the game. And so it'll take anywhere.
Or you can get out like quick. Like if you suck, you're out real quick.
So our 5 games will take anywhere from like an hour 45 to 2 and a quarter.
Probably just about the same length as an American pickle.
How preserved in pickle brine vis-a-vis IPAs deep do you think you'll be by 11:30?
Oh, a bunch.
Sideways,
a
right?
bunch, yeah.
Good.
Yeah.
That's I play better when I've been drinking.
Yes,
so.
I think that's what we're going to do. So that'll do it. Thankfully, I'm sure many of you are wondering, Dale will be back on Monday. So that'll end his vacation. He'll be back on Monday. Fitzy, great job last couple of days.
Hey, good job by you. Thanks for having me, boys.
All right. For Scheim and John Keefe, everybody have a great weekend. I'm off next week, but Dale is back with a cast of rotating co-hosts there.
And on Tuesday, it's Dale, Mutt, and Fitz, DMF.
There you go. OMF is next. See ya.
And it's been a blast.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.